The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in, because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging a full net of fish, for they were not far from the land, only 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fashion your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Jesus, help us to love you, draw our hearts to you, show us how to tend your sheep. Amen. Please be seated. Did you ever get scolded as a child for not doing a chore that you really hated? Probably, right? And when you got scolded, I imagine you might have heard something like your whole name, first, middle, and last, and that's how you knew it was going to be really serious, right? Simon, son of John. Jesus uses Peter's whole official name. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, Peter is one of Jesus' top three disciples, his closest confidants, the one that he sends out to do important work, even though we know that Peter messes up a lot, He still gets a lot right. He's full of eagerness, of impulsive passion. He always has something to say, even if it's not always the right thing. He's always ready for action. He's the one who walks on water. He is the one who tries to convince Jesus that Jesus doesn't really have to die. He also is the one who runs to the empty tomb, one of the only men, it seemed, who believed the women that Jesus had been raised. And this morning, when he sees Jesus on the seashore, he dives into the water, even though the boat is not that far away, just so he can get there faster. But there is some tension in this greeting on the beach. It was only a few days ago, after all, that Peter emphatically declared that he would die with Jesus. And then we know what happened. He didn't. Not only did he not walk the same path as Jesus, three times he swore that he didn't even know him. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus doesn't call Peter by the name Peter that he gave him. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." On that morning on the beach, I don't think that Peter felt like a rock. Simon, son of John, do you love me? It's a serious question. The most basic question of relationship: is there a bond of love that connects us? Yes, Peter says, yes. But he doesn't stop there. He implores Jesus to look inside his heart, to remember that Jesus knows Peter. He knows that Peter loves him. Jesus seems to believe Peter right away because he goes on to give him a task: feed my sheep. Simple task. But that word feed doesn't just mean throw some hay to the sheep, put some food in front of them. To feed the sheep is to lead them out into the pasture, to walk with them, to help them find the way. Jesus intensifies that word in the next statement when he says, "Tend my sheep." Take care of the sheep. Three times Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. Three times Peter swears that he does. And three times Jesus tells him to lead the sheep to life, to care for them. Jesus then foretells Peter's own death. He will walk the way of a martyr after all, just as he had promised to do before Jesus' death. And when his time does come, he will not deny Jesus. In fact, in true Peter style, even his humility will be passionate and impulsive. He will demand that the Romans crucify him upside down because he's not worthy to die in the same manner as Jesus. You'll notice our stained glass window has Peter holding a cross upside down. Jesus' last imperative to Peter is follow me. We stand in the place of Peter, just as every disciple who has ever tried to follow Jesus does. We stand in that place where we have messed up as we have tried to follow. Even as often as we may come to church, as often as we may pray, we have a nagging feeling that maybe it's not enough. Maybe there's more we could be doing. Maybe other people are better Christians than we are. And at some level, we're probably right. There is always more that we could be doing. There is always more effort to put to task. And yet, it is not getting it wrong that is the problem. Getting it wrong is part of following Jesus. It's part of the journey. The problem is when we think that we can get it right through more work, through more effort, through more willpower and tenacity of ourselves, forcing ourselves to do more. Do you see the picture? The struggle the wrestling. Perhaps it sounds a little familiar to you in your own spiritual journey or in your life. Sometimes it feels like that. And if it does, then you're in good company, because you are a member of the church that is founded on Peter, the rock. Peter, the one who gets things wrong a lot. Peter, who's passionate and impulsive, who tries constantly to get there on his own by his own willpower and strength. But Peter, who is also transformed. Peter, who realizes that the path of following Jesus is a path of love. Peter, who is so emboldened by the Holy Spirit that he preaches to crowds, that he performs miracles, that he breaks the law in favor of inclusivity for all. Peter is the tradition, the emblem on which our church is founded. So what do you think? Did Peter love Jesus? Did he tend the sheep? And how? Peter gave up his life for the sheep. He was able to do so with humility and with courage because the strength that was in him was based on his love for Jesus and Jesus' love for him. It was love that taught him how to follow Jesus. And in the end, he loved not only Jesus, but also the sheep. Do you love Jesus? It's a serious question. Love, the bond of relationship between you and Jesus. Can you feel Jesus' love for you? That love that is always pouring over you, always reaching out to you, no matter what you have done or said or thought in your entire life. That love has been there, waiting, drawing you in. Maybe you felt a love so powerful for Jesus that it has moved you to tears. Maybe you think that you love Jesus, but you're not so sure. Maybe you're a little apprehensive about this idea of loving Jesus at all. The first question that Jesus asked Peter on that beach is, "Do you love me?" Because it is the primary question. Peter's love for Jesus is the path by which he will be changed. Peter cannot possibly follow Jesus on his own strength. But if his strength is motivated by God, by his love of Jesus, then that changes everything. Now I want to help you, or have you help me, rather, with an example here. So I want to take a moment and just think of a chore. We're back to chores again. A chore that you really don't like to do. In fact, you hate to do this chore. You'll do almost anything to not do this chore. For me, it's organizing my closet. Yeah, if I'm organizing my closet, then that means that there is literally something way worse out there that I should be doing. So think of a chore like that. And now I want you to think of a person, somebody who's one of your favorite people on the planet. Someone who you absolutely adore. Now you might guess where I'm going with this. This person who you love is in a bind, and they ask for your help, and they really need you to do that chore that you hate to do. Are you gonna do it? Probably, yes. And if you do it, how might your attitude toward that chore be changed? Do you feel it? It might even be possible that you could do that chore gladly or have fun doing it because of the love that you feel for the person who's asked you to do it. You see, our love for Jesus can transform not only us, not only our own hearts, but the way that we experience our lives, the way that we experience the tasks that we have before us. I once met a man who was doing volunteer work after a hurricane. He was mucking out slime from houses, and this was stinky, dirty, disgusting. I mean, the most disgusting thing you could imagine doing, and then worse. And he was doing it hour after hour, day after day. He said to me, "You know, there is no way that you could pay me enough to do this job. There's not enough money in the whole world where I would sign up and say, yes, this is a job that I'm going to do." And then he stopped and he smiled and he said, "But I will gladly do it for free." How about that? Isn't that amazing? I bet in each of our lives we've had a similar experience in which love has transformed the way that we do something, the way that we experience it. If we plant ourselves in the love that we feel for Jesus, that is the place that can give us the strength to follow. Because we know that loving our neighbors is not easy. Loving our enemies is even harder. But it's not by our own strength that we accomplish these things. It is through love. A love for Jesus and a love from Jesus. And our hearts will be fed by that. Wherever you are in your journey of loving Jesus, if you want to love him more, all you have to do is ask. Lord, draw my heart to you. Now, there's a prayer in the back of the prayer book. My mother introduced me to it, and she said, this particular prayer should have warning labels all over it. It should say, "Do not pray this prayer," in capital letters, "unless you want your life to be changed." Now, this prayer is all about drawing our hearts to God, and it's all about feeding the sheep. So I'm going to ask you to do something you never do in church. You're going to grab this blue book in front of you. You might be out of practice in flipping the pages. Congregations that use this every week, they can flip right to a page. I want you to turn to page 832 in the back of the blue book. Now, the other tricky thing that we're going to do is we're going to pray this prayer together, and we're going to have to change it from Elizabethan English to modern English. So if you're feeling up to the task, go ahead and say "you" instead of "thee." But if you prefer "thee," say "thee," however you like it. Now, this prayer I want to introduce you to because it's dangerous. Yeah, a dangerous prayer, a prayer that just might transform your life. Let us pray together, prayer number 61. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated unto you. And then use us, we pray you, as you will, and always to your glory and the welfare of your people. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.